It's here. Downton Abbey, the film, opens this week. Lady Mary, the Earl of Grantham, his wife Cora, Maggie Smith as the Dowager Countess of Grantham, the true star, the Highclere Castle, with its 1,000 acres of grounds sculpted by the impossibly named real-life Capability Brown, and of course the staff that runs the house, all aflutter because the King and Queen of England are coming with their staff, who will replace the servants of Downton Abbey for the visit.
So, my maids and I will not be involved in the preparations.
You mean, during the stay, you'll be the butler and...
Excuse me, I am not a butler. I am the King's page of the backstairs.
So our staff has nothing to do?
I'm sure they can be useful.
We know that won't end well. Julian Fellowes is the creator of the TV series. He wrote the screenplay for the film and won an Oscar for his screenplay for 2001's Gosford Park. Lord Fellowes, Julian, when did you realize Downton Abbey has to be a film?
I didn't believe that the film would happen because it seemed to me too complicated. All the actors had gone off in different directions. They were on Broadway, they were making series and so on. So it was only for me, really about a year after the end of the show, that the murmur wouldn't die down. And I started to think, well, if there is a film, I'd better make a few decisions about what's going to be in it.
And let's talk about why you decided what would be in it. But also, let's put this in context. There might be a couple of people who have not seen the series. It began in 1912. Electricity, phones, cars were newfangled things. Dresses were down to the ground. In the film, we're now in, I understand, 1927 or so?
27,
yep. And we have King George V with his wife Mary. Their daughter did have a home somewhere nearby, so it could happen that they might be coming out into the country.
Well, they made a tour of Yorkshire in 1912, in fact, just before. And they were both quite keen to tour the country and be visible. You know, in those very early days of filmed newsreel, on the whole, if you wanted people to see you, you had to go there.
And what else are you trying to show us in this moment about the monarchy? Because some of the characters, we won't give it away, could care less.
Well, I mean, I don't think in that sense we're telling you about the monarchy, in that the monarchy was very successful at that time and indeed in this. You know, it is one of the unifying elements as opposed to the many, many divisive elements at the moment in Britain. So we all give thanks for it. But it was important after the First War when, you know, the whole system had been shaken to its foundations.
Right.
And it was their job to sort of reestablish its roots and make the public see that the show was back on the road.
Well, I mentioned some of the characters are turning away from the monarchy. These are servants who are looking longingly for their own independence. But others are, I'm thinking of Mosley, cannot practically faint. He loves his king and queen so much. So talk about the power of the monarchy for those people.
Well, I think it is very powerful, but that's why I chose it, because I was looking for an event that would affect everyone there. They would all be on their toes. They might be hostile, they might be angry, but they would all be something.
And when we spoke with you a bit ago, you said that one of your concerns was making sure the beloved characters had their time, and they do, including Tom. Tom, who's the Irish widower who'd been the family chauffeur but swept a daughter off her feet. She then sadly died in childbirth. He gets a big role. What are you trying to say here? Because I did some research and I was reminded that Northern Ireland was created just a few years early, in 1921.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, we had the troubles, if you remember,
right,
in the series.
Right.
And that is part of the story in the movie, as you know.
He was one of the Catholics who were nationalists. They wanted a united Ireland, independent of Britain, pretty much as in recent history. And there were then the Unionists who were happy about the divide. But you had that storyline, and now you have him really stepping to the front in this film.
Well, there's a moment when he says to Mary, I'm law-abiding now or something. That's what you lot have done to me. And in a sense, they have not changed his beliefs. They haven't. But what they have done is change his perception on how to conduct himself in society. I mean, the reason he does have a very significant role is that when I was deciding that we were going to do it, you know, I was looking at the last series and I realized that Tom Branson was the only one who wasn't, in a sense, settled. At the end of the show, everyone else was, even that the long unhappy Edith had found her perfect man.
Even Edith.
Right. And I didn't want to unpick any of that.
Yeah.
But it gave me Tom Branson as someone who could have a love story, which, well, I think the film needed.
Not just a love story, but a storyline we don't want to give away, in which those prejudices against the Irish are still very apparent. Lady Mary, Michelle Dockery. There's the whiff of the women's movement through her. She's now fully taken over the day-to-day running of Downton Abbey. And here she persuades the retired butler, Mr. Carson, played by Jim Carter, to come back to the job.
I don't want to be a nuisance, but I need your help, Carson. Barrow just isn't up to the task.
M'lady?
He won't clean the silver, or he won't let Andrew clean it.
What?
He says the page of the thingamy will choose which pieces to use.
I see.
The truth is, he's in a sort of trance. Won't you help me? I feel I'm pushing a rock uphill.
I'll be there in the morning, my lady. Don't you worry.
You're a treasure, Carson. That's all there is to say.
She mentions Mr. Barrow. There is a gay storyline in your film. Again, I don't want to give it away. But there are hidden clubs. He finally may also have a love life. How much of this is historically true?
Oh, no, it's all true. I mean, there were gathering places. I mean, when you think, there's no reason to believe there was any smaller percentage of people were gay in 1927 than they are now. Mm-hmm. The difference being that 98% of them were forced to live a lie. And I think it's important to remind, particularly young people, that, you know, we have come a long way in this area. I mean, at the moment, all you ever hear is how terrible everything is. But there are certain things that have improved, and that is one of them. But the gathering places were not as they would be even at the end of the 50s, when it was still illegal, but it was beginning to be clear that it wouldn't be for very much longer. That wasn't true in the 20s. And if you had a gathering place, it wasn't all lined with red plush and everyone having a lovely drink at the bar. It was in a warehouse. It was in a storeroom. It was anywhere where you could set it up and move it at a moment's notice when the police found out. Mm. And I hope that comes through in the film, that it was very, very difficult to be gay and to live a life. And I don't want us to lose touch with that, really.
Yeah, well, it's very evident. You have in the film one of the most delightful aspects of the TV series, which is dinner and repartee, and especially the barbs thrown by Maggie Smith as the Dowager Countess. In this scene, Isabel, played by Penelope Wilton, they have a love-hate cousin relationship. She's expressing doubts about the coming royal visit.
Seems rather a waste of money.
Oh, here we go.
Isn't that what the monarchy's for? To brighten the lives of the nation with stateliness and glamour? To quote Tennyson, kind hearts are more than coronets and simple faith than Norman blood.
Well, you have enough clichés to get you through the visit.
If not, I'll come to you.
Well, first of all, Julian Fellowes, how much fun is it for you to put Tennyson in your writing?
Well, you know, it's fun when you're writing for that level of player, because you know that they're going to hit the spot every time and they're going to hit the target. You know, when you know they're going to Maggie and Penelope or Imelda or whatever, it is very satisfactory. And actually, one of the greatest pleasures of this latest adventure has been to sit in an enormous cinema and hear people all laughing together, because, you know, when you watch it on television, you don't get that. You know, you have your wife who's seen it 16 times before and your son who's reading a book, and that's it. And suddenly there you are in the middle of people finding it funny, and I love that.
Why do you think that is, especially here in the States? I mean, we had a war, you know, we overthrew this, and such a love affair. What do you think it is?
Well, of course, if I knew that, I would do nothing but replicate its success for the rest of my life. But I think there is a fascination in looking at how our forebears lived. And one of the things I'm really pleased about, which I hope Gosford Park and Downton have contributed to, is that when I was a child, the story of these great houses was always the story of the family. And they were the rooms that were on show. You saw the drawing room and the library and the ballroom, but you never saw the kitchens. You never saw the servants' hall. You never saw any of that. And that's completely different now. Mm. And I get a lot of letters enclosing photographs of people in liveries of footmen and housemaids and so on, and ladies' maids and everything else. And they're writing about their great-grandparents, whatever, who were in service, you know, and they did this and they did that. And I think people have started to see that it's a way of life that belongs to us all.
Well, and as you say, these shows, Gosford Park, which you wrote, Downton Abbey, are honoring the people who live downstairs. We have to ask, the film's coming out at a time, and you noted it, when Britain itself is going through turmoil. Is that a part of the appeal maybe there?
It wouldn't surprise me if people like to be able to take 2 hours off Brexit for a change. You know, we all have strong opinions about it and we all have friends on both sides. And it's an unusual situation because it's a difference of opinion that doesn't run along class lines or north and south or even age. You get families divided. People are just split about it with no real pattern. And that's very tiring, you know, to be in the middle. You go to a dinner party and suddenly the subject comes up and everyone goes hatchet-faced all round the table. And this is just a rest from it.
Julian Fellowes, we know nothing about that in this country. Julian is creator of the TV series Downton Abbey, the author of the screenplay for the new film Downton Abbey. Lord Fellowes, thank you so much for talking to us.
No, thank you for having me here.